Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the What You Mean a Tropical Storm, but it's also, it means the little piece of data for your local announcer. And here so we bring forth the food show. And every day we do this, we sit down, we talk
like
about food, about
rest.
Yeah, it could be, you know. We're always looking for unique talent. Talk about food. Here's what you need: 260 points, or just 260. What are those anyway that we give away?
Don't ask me to explain.
Okay, here's how. Well, anyway.
I haven't got the slightest idea.
Okay.
All right.
The other voice you hear is that of Marianne.
Happy anniversary, and it's really not a happy anniversary, but today is the day that Katrina hit.
Yeah, I remember that.
Is it 14 years ago? Goodness.
14 years ago.
Time flies. Wow.
Well, it came all right. It
flew. Where were you today? As we have another hurricane cranking up down there, were you today 14 years ago? We were sitting in Atlanta, where Tom was probably on his 12th martini.
I wasn't, but it sounds good.
And let's see, you all, we were at my niece's house, and we were eating in the house mostly, but also because we're the Fitzmaurices, going out to eat a bit. And you and Jude had gone to, what's that place that you came back with and had the little hats?
The Little Hats.
Yeah, it's the hamburger place that you really liked. That, and there's one on I-12. Steak Shack? No, Steak... Steak and Shake.
Steak and Shake.
Did they give you little hats? Did Steak and Shake have little hats?
I haven't been to the Steak and Shake. But
I think they used to give little hats or whatever it was.
Somebody might know.
Little paper hats. I remember
little
you
paper
and
hats.
Jude coming back from some visit somewhere, and you had little paper hats.
Well, it did not get into my life in
any
way.
And I remembered you saying repeatedly, because we had gone to our, we had evacuated. Tom is an evacuator, and I am not an evacuator. And so Tom convinced me to evacuate one time prior to Katrina, and that was Hurricane George. And we spent a whole bunch of money and made it a vacation, but it was quite a vacation. And Tom was adamant when we left for Katrina that the evacuation would not become a vacation. So he kept repeating, we are refugees.
We are
not on a vacation.
A vacation, right.
So we didn't eat out nearly as much as we would have otherwise, but you did, I remember, go to that little place where you had the paper hat. And we also went to the Varsity. I remember that. And it was my first introduction to the BET.
The BET?
Black Entertainment Television, which was playing on all of the screens in the Varsity, and I was enlightened by that. It was interesting to see what is out there, because we didn't really have a lot of television in our house. So anyway, that's our recollection of the Varsity and of Atlanta and of Katrina. So I thought that we would throw out the subject, and it's not a good memory.
No, let's do a little bit of it.
But you know what? It definitely changed the city.
It certainly did, yeah.
It absolutely changed the city irrevocably, for better or worse. Some people, it absolutely improved certain aspects and also changed other aspects of it. So I'm curious if you have any recollections, food recollections. So we don't want this to be a boo-hoo-hoo thing, but what are your food recollections of Katrina? Did you go someplace?
Well,
if so, did you discover something interesting on the road? What sort of things did you do at home? The only other food recollection I have involving a hurricane was when we cooked on the dining room table with Mary Lee in a car seat over a Coleman stove for Hurricane Andrew. So it's not a good memory, but
no.
It is a memory.
No,
it
isn't.
It is Hurricane Katrina anniversary. And so, you know, if you have any recollections, we'd love to hear them.
Yeah, I've got one that I'm very proud of, actually.
What's that?
I was on the air on WWL from midnight till 6 in the morning.
I remember that distinctly.
And to this day, every now and then, someone will call me, usually a person I know but haven't seen in a long time, and said, you know, I was on the highway on my way to Nashville or Chicago or wherever they were evacuating, and the person involved said that they were listening to me coming on WWL, which has a very powerful signal and covers the country, really. Yeah, and so they were listening to that, and ever since they've been telling me, you know, we listened to you all the way to Washington, D.C. or wherever it was. And that was impossible to ever forget, and I'm kind of proud of it, too. But then again, you know how proud I can get.
Well, you know, it's funny because, as I said, I was a firm non-evacuator because we live far away. We don't live anywhere near the lake, and we don't live really near a river, and it's never flooded on our property. So, you know, and there are not trees right over our house. So there wasn't really a huge danger factor for us.
Yeah.
And so when Tom would work himself into sort of a frothy little nervousness, I would say, shut up, Tom, we're not evacuating, and except for that one time for Hurricane George. And so after that one, I said, that's it. No more evacuation for the Fitzmaurices. And so I was completely oblivious to the storm awaiting us. And I had literally, and I'm not joking about this, I had not seen anything having to do
we're being told that your microphone is way down.
Oh, so, is that right? Okay.
Yeah, run
all
this
right.
up.
So,
I'm not going to touch your settings.
Don't touch anything.
And then,
so, anyway,
is that any better?
Wait, no, I haven't touched anything.
Oh, okay.
So, this should be better. Is that better, Ron? Can you hear something now?
Yeah, that's a lot better.
Okay. So, I was completely, I mean, I knew there was a hurricane out there because it's impossible to not know that there's a hurricane when there's a hurricane, but I had not seen any of the weather radar or anything. And so when you did your thing where you were on the air from midnight to 6, I was sleeping in the room next door. And so I knew nothing about Katrina except that my niece kept calling and asking for us to please come to Atlanta and, you know, telling Tom, you got to talk her into coming. And so I was sleeping, and then Tom came to bed at 6 in the morning on the morning of the 28th, was it? Yeah, on the morning of the 28th, Tom came to bed, and I just kind of like, you know, kind of woke up when he got into bed, and he said, would you do me a favor? I don't ask for a lot of favors, would you just do me this one favor? And I said, of course, what is it? He said, would you come into the office and look at the weather radar? And so
I walk in. I was still sort of sleepy. It was 6 o'clock in the morning. And I walked in, and there was the monitor, and there was no Gulf of Mexico. It was all hurricane.
Yeah, that was
and
scary.
And my first reaction was to scream, okay, everybody up, we're leaving. And so everybody threw things together, and we got in the car and drove to Atlanta that day. But most everyone had left by that time. So we got to Atlanta, and we were in Atlanta all this time. And Katrina is, you know, talking about food things. Katrina introduced us, well, actually, Katrina irrevocably changed our lives in so many ways. That's when Jude left and didn't come home again. And that's when our D.C. story started, and we wound up in D.C. for a whole bunch of, well, years. And but we discovered some things along the way. That's where we first learned about Five Guys hamburgers.
Mm-hmm. They were everywhere.
On the way to, we were in Atlanta for a while, and then on the way to D.C., we discovered Five Guys, and that was our first introduction to Five Guys. And that was our first introduction to Matchbox Pizza, which is a favorite of ours in D.C., and a lot of different things. The Einstein Bagels. We didn't know anything about Einstein Bagels till we got to D.C. A lot of things that you know, became part of our world after that, we were introduced to with Katrina. Mary Lee's favorite Mexican place, Uncle Julio's in Bethesda. That's where she first went there. So I'm sure that other people have similar experiences where they evacuated or lived someplace for a while. If you would like to share those with us, or if you do not want to talk or think about Katrina at all, call us.
I'm not going to...
260-6368. What?
I'm not going to exercise any kind of authority, which I don't have anyway. But I think, you know, with this hurricane, if it even comes here, and we don't know.
What is this, the one that's out there now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think let's leave it alone, because you can certainly find enough of it if you want to. And let's just, this is a light.
Well, Tom, if you had gotten the almanac up there, we'd be doing that.
You see, folks, there's this little gizmo here that if I have to click on each date, and today's, for some reason, I was going for.
I wonder if there are any other things like that.
For artichoke, no, it's, let's see, it was August.
It's August 29th.
August 29th is what it's supposed to be. But I didn't. It had disappeared somehow, and so we had only the August 30th.
Because there's no more. Like I really had to think about the fact that it was Katrina Day, and because I mean it has been 14 years, and things just sort of fade away after a while. But
yeah. Well, you don't take much because today is National Seafood Stuffing Day.
No, it is not.
No?
Because that's tomorrow, Tom. So
it
don't
is?
Look at August 30th and say it's today, because it's not. It's
but
the
what
29th.
About the 29th?
It's the 29th. Those are not
I don't
the same.
Have the 29th.
I know, so don't look at the 30th and say of anything, because it's not the same day. Anyway, 260-6368 is the number if you would like to join us. We had a very busy show yesterday.
And the day before,
and we
too.
We never know if it's going to be busy or not. So
no, we don't.
I would imagine that the subject that I just threw out would draw a lot of attention, but maybe not.
Okay, can I?
Maybe
I want to show you off something that was involved in this. And, you know, it's no big deal. As a matter of fact, it's not even a little deal. Anyhow, I have the 31st. And here's the first.
Fascinating, you know, isn't it, folks?
And the reason for it is that I was trying to
I know why it is.
I was trying to...
Because 29th is Katrina Day. You were probably sitting in a corner.
Yeah, could be. Let's accept that and just go with it.
Yeah.
All right, everybody, let's not talk about hurricanes.
Why, Tom?
Okay.
They have an unnatural, disturbing effect on you.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But that's not normal. The rest of us are okay.
Well, I don't know about that.
The rest of us are okay. Anyway, I have learned a lot about a lot of different places post-Katrina, and that was an experience that it's absolutely changed the dynamic of the city forever. And I've mentioned this a little bit on nomenu.com lately, but it really is a very prevalent thing. I think that the influx of the kids, and they're not really kids anymore, but the influx of the young people who came to town to rebuild the city and stayed have a cultural identity that is not New Orleans. And as far as the food goes, their tastes and preferences are not necessarily in sync in what is culturally accepted, known, and recognized in the city.
You mean it's all in the sink?
And that dynamic is changing the dining scene in New Orleans. And I find that an interesting thing. And I'm curious as to what the long-term effects of that one dynamic, and it's not a little one, will be on this city.
Well, we don't know.
And that's a very deep subject, but it is an interesting one, and I enjoy talking about it all the time. All right. And I'd love to talk about it with you or anything else
sure.
that you'd like to talk about today on August 29th, the anniversary of the big event, the big event here. 260-6368 is the number. Mm. Let's see. We went to
We've got somebody on hold. You mind? Yeah.
Oh,
Ronald. No, I'm sorry. Not Ronald.
Hello.
Michael 75. I'm sure you've met him.
Hey, yes.
Yeah.
Not in person. I would like to meet him in person. Hi, Michael 75.
Hey, good afternoon. Love to meet y'all in person. But anyway, this is my Katrina story. I think I've told it before, but I'll be redundant. And I was trying a case in Chicago. I flew up there on the Sunday night right before Katrina at 3 o'clock, 3 p.m., and I think it was the last plane out of Armstrong International. So anyway, get there, try the case. It's like 4:30, 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Walk out the courtroom, and a lady runs up to me and says, "Are you from New Orleans?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "Y'all are so lucky. It missed New Orleans, and it went to the Gulf Coast." I said, "Beautiful." So I go to sleep that night, wake up the next morning, and guess what? All the levees had collapsed. So I had already told my family to go to Love. They got a hotel near Love Field in Dallas. So we flew with them, and after about a week of just sitting around looking at the TV screen, looking at all the carnage, we decided to take a trip, evacuate to London. So we called Delta.
Nice.
Yeah, so we called Delta, and all four of us went to London. We stayed in an area where there were a lot of Arabs and everything. It was a great area. Food was incredible, Lebanese, etc. And then we took the shuttle to Paris. And after that, we stayed in Paris for about a week. We drove all over Europe for the next 4 weeks. And everywhere we went, the people were so incredibly nice. They would see our passports. You have to show that when you register for a hotel or something, and give us incredibly deep discounts. So anyway, we get to a little area near the French-Swiss border, a place called Mulhouse, which is, you can pronounce it Mulhouse if you want. But anyway, we're at a little inn, and the chef comes out that night and says, my dish of the night is kangaroo. So we ordered the kangaroo, and it was spectacular. It was great, great. Anyway, when we got back, I was talking to a friend of mine who went to Oklahoma City for about the same time, and he said, "I sent all my receipts into FEMA, and they repaid me as an evacuee." And I said, "I wonder if that would work for Europe." He said, why don't you try it? So I said, we compared how much we spent. With all the discounts I got, actually, for the 6 weeks, we spent less than he did.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was incredible. They were so nice over there. And everything was just ridiculously inexpensive. So then we sent it in, and we both got our checks, about the same checks, back in a few weeks.
That is a great story. I've not heard that story. That's a really terrific story. Where did you stay in London? Was it Maida Vale up there?
No, I'm trying to think of the area.
Was it Eastern London?
Yeah. No, no, it wasn't real. It wasn't real East. It was right past Hyde Park, I think.
Okay, it was a little area.
And it's a little area where when you walk on the streets at night, you have all these guys smoking these. They're in the hookahs.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah, right.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, so anyway, but the food was great. In fact, one day one night we're in the hotel. I said, I'm in a mood for some steak tartare. So I called up on the phone to an Arab restaurant, and they sent it up to the room. Delicious raw steak. It was fabulous.
Well, I will say this, Michael. You know how to evacuate. That's for sure.
Yeah, well, hopefully we don't have to do that again.
That could turn me into an evacuator for sure. Well, that's a great story. Thank you very much. And, yes, people, I think, were just...
Have a good weekend. Hope the bad wind doesn't come around.
Yeah.
You were right about that. All right.
Thanks for calling. 260-6368. I think that everyone has a terrible Katrina story. We also have one. Yeah. But there are also things like that that people could share where they experience the wonderfulness of people and the generosity and the compassion and probably get some good food in the meantime. So if you have stories like that, that's what we're looking for today. 260-6368 is the number. We will be back after these messages. You're listening to WWL 105.3 FM HD.
All right. It's the Food Show on 105.3 FM HD2. And what we do is hang around and we talk about the food scene around town. To tell you the truth, I try to keep the doors open here as much as we can. So if you want to give out some thoughts about the tropical storm that might possibly be coming this way, go ahead. My personal feeling about it is that we ought to just leave it alone and wait for it to see what's going
to
happen. Who's
trying to talk about the storm?
You're not?
No.
Okay. Well, somebody did.
I'm remembering Katrina, which happened 14 years ago. Yeah. Today, which was a major event in not only the life of New Orleans, but everyone who lived in it, and also a lot of the people who are from other places who had no idea that New Orleans would become their home, but here it is, because they came here to work on rebuilding the city. Allie Lofton is one. She'll be on tomorrow with you. Yeah, she's
what
one
time?
Of those people. She's from Kansas, and she's been here since Katrina, and she is exactly the kind of person that I'm talking about. She's been here for 14 years now. That's just about half of her life, and she has her mother living here now. So there's a lot of events that are cultural and sociological that happened as a result of Katrina. But really, I'm just kind of wanting to talk about food. I mean, Katrina is how we found a lot of places to eat that we didn't know were out there. And Katrina is responsible for me eating char-grilled oysters. When we were in D.C., Simone, who is a PR person, whose husband is David Gwouse, who he's a baker and he's sort of a TV chef now, but Simone was from here, and she was the PR director at the Windsor Court, and we knew her then, and she's a good friend, and she moved up to McLean right after Katrina, or maybe even before Katrina, and she contacted us knowing that we were there and invited us to a place called Acadiana, which was opening in D.C., serving New Orleans kind of food.
That's what you would serve with a name like that.
Coincidentally, the same weekend of Katrina. So Simone being a PR person and Tom being in the media, she invited us to have dinner with Jeff Tunks, who is, well, not really with him, but, you know, he came out. And some other people who were in D.C. at that time. And we all sat around a really nice Acadiana is a very nice place. And for those people who are not familiar with Jeff Tunks, what he does is he goes and stays in a place for a while, and he really, really immerses himself in the food culture of that place and brings back a lot of the ingredients from that place in order to really nail it in the menu. So he had a whole bunch of Gendusa bread on hand, and I think that was the last of the Gendusa bread. But one of the things on the menu at Acadiana was char-grilled oysters. And up to that point, I had never had a char-grilled oyster, believe it or not. And it was in I had to go all the way to D.C. to try a char-grilled oyster. And I loved it. And you know the reason that I tried it? That I was with a bunch of people, and I just felt that I should. So if I had been with just Tom, I would have said, I'm not eating that. But anyway, I tried it, and it was delish. And so when I came back here, I went to Drago's and had some at the original place that started the whole craze. And I've been eating them ever since. But it was a result of Katrina that I wound up eating char-grilled oysters. So I'm sure other people have stories like that. One of the great things at Acadiana is those biscuits with the pepper jelly and honey, not jam, but it's like a marmalade. You know those biscuits that I'm talking about?
Kinda. Is it the kind that we ate last night?
Those were at G.W. Finn's. We have a restaurant report from G.W. Finn's.
It resembled what you
described. Yeah, it was a honey butter, but it was not pepper jelly. But these are biscuits that he serves with a pepper jelly. And I'm guessing maybe it is butter and pepper jelly. Just butter and pepper jelly. But it's really great. And that's another thing that I was turned on to in D.C. as a result of being there from Katrina.
Well,
first place we went to the Cheesecake Factory. There was one right across from Prep where Jude went to school. So we had a lot of food experiences over the next several years.
Millennium, it seems like. Well, anyway, you know, that was the storm that was.
206368. All right, Tom, you're obviously agitated at the very topic of Katrina. So what would you like to talk about?
Oh, I don't know. How about eating? What did you have for dinner last night? So, and with me too.
Uh-huh. We went to GW Finn's.
It's the first time I'd been there in a while, and they made a joke about that. Said, yeah, he's a regular. He came 20 years ago.
You know, that is almost true. It's been a very long time since we've been to GW Finn's for no reason at all.
Well, you don't need much
of one. And it's absolutely delicious. The restaurant is really unique. It's very handsome. It's not changed at all in 20 years, probably because it is so unique. The walls and the whole look of it is fluid, I guess, like the ocean. And it's just a really cool place. And so we were seated by a window and noticed that Arno's across the street was closed. So I guess they're coming back after vacation at the end of the week or something.
What I read in the page on the front was that they had closed yesterday for lunch, but they were planning on coming back yesterday for dinner.
No, they were closed till we left. So
well,
I guess
then
maybe
it happened later because there was a sign right there.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, but GW Finn's was absolutely open and very crowded and really delicious. We got on the subject of wanting to go back to GW Finn's for a couple of reasons. We had them on the show not long ago to talk about Tenney Flynn's new book, The Deep End of Flavor. And then we went to their book launch party at SoFab a couple of weeks ago. And that was so delicious that it reminded us of how great a restaurant that is. So I've been sort of really, really anxious to go back and we went last night. And we will tell you some more about that visit when we come back from this break. Ron, we need a break, don't we?
I think
so. Do you want to wait till 50?
You want a hamburger or you want some fried
okra. Okay, okra? Are we taking a break, Ron?
Yes. Okay. Me as well.
260-6368 is the number.
Welcome back. You are talking and listening to The Food Show with me and Mary Ann. And we're talking about the food scene around town. We always get into that. But when something big pops up, like what we're seeing on the television set about this potential storm out there, but, you know, it's kind of hard to ignore. But
Well, let's try to ignore it. Let's go to AWG, who's on the phone.
The smartest thing you've told me today.
Hi, AWG.
AWG.
Hey.
Welcome.
Hi. How are you?
Good. You?
Doing fine. You know, how do you spell chow? Is it C-H-O-W?
C-H-O-W?
As in chow number?
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
C-A-I-O and C-H-O-W.
Okay.
It's a play on words.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of figured that. Yeah.
Well,
number,
you know,
781.
What?
Your chow number 81.
Congratulations.
781.
Oh, 781.
781. One of those hard to predict chow numbers.
That is the area code for a Boston suburb, just in case you are interested.
Good to know.
Thanks for that information.
Well, we want you to be right up to the moment.
Yeah. So did you call to tell us about chow numbers or something else?
No. Talk about restaurants. Well, you were talking about the influx of all of the new people and the different tastes. It's been somewhat exciting because we're getting different things. However, these different things, in my mind, don't seem to last.
True.
I've seen so there have been a lot of new places that have come in, and if you ask, oh, where's the owner from? Well, they're always from out of town.
Right.
And they're good. They're good. But I can't figure out why is it that a lot of these places, they just don't make it. I just don't understand.
Because they're usually ethnic. They're usually very, very unusual food. And we have a strong cultural identity here, and we like a certain kind of food. So, you know, Burmese cuisine is probably not going to be more than just a fad.
Well, you don't need to worry about it too much, because I can tell you that in the year so far, and we're pretty close to finishing that year, we are ending the year with the same number of restaurants that we had at the beginning. But the kind of people who are in the restaurant business, they are changing a lot. They're getting younger. They're getting much more informal. They are not putting on a big show for the restaurants out there like they used to. They're just bringing things out that are going to make you go, wow, when you see it or taste it. And sometimes they get away with it, and some days they don't. But the year so far, what I've been watching of it, I keep track of this pretty well. Well, it as well as I can do it with the tools at hand.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be an okay year. The restaurants feel that way, but they have to adjust on certain things, the biggest one of which is, you know, these younger diners that have the maybe not so formal dress and for darn sure ideas about what tastes good and how
that's
they
what
like
he's saying
it.
That's his whole point. So let me ask you a question. What restaurants have you gone to that fall into the category that you're talking about, and how did you react to them? I assume you were disappointed. So what specifically? What?
Well, the one that comes to mind first is a restaurant called Ursa Major.
Called what? Wait, what?
I never even heard of that.
Ursa Major.
Oh, Ursa.
And
oh, that's been gone for a while.
A couple of years. Well, yeah, probably 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
And it was really good. Actually, the owner also owned a place down in, I guess, the Bywater called Booties. And I would say Ursa Major was probably a little bit upscale to Booties. But both of those were really good. But you are correct in what you said, that it's different. It's definitely different. But it was good. It was a good change. And but there have been so many that have come and gone. It just seems
earlier today, in an effort from our general circular manager up here, I was asked to do some features to keep the No Menu website just jumping, which it is doing. But there was one aspect of this that we hadn't figured particularly, and that was, it's something I have to tell you later.
Okay.
I'll tell you in a couple.
You know what? I'm going to illustrate exactly what you are talking about. There's a place, and we've talked about this before. There's a place called Otravez, which is in the Standard Building downtown. I mean, in the Warehouse District. Do you know what I'm talking about?
It's right I have here. Not been there.
Is he still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I've heard of it, but I have not been there.
Okay. It's a beautiful restaurant. It's in a really nice building. It's in the newest, hippest, busiest part of the Warehouse District where all the construction is going on. And we went there for dinner. It's a Mexican restaurant. It's a glamorous Mexican restaurant. And I ordered something I order whenever I see it on a menu. I love short ribs. And these short ribs were delicious. They were, first of all, there was not a lot of meat. These were really large short ribs. And they were served with pickled vegetables, which are really hot. So I order this and I eat it, and it is really good. But I'm going to tell you that I would much prefer to have short ribs with not necessarily a gravy, but an au jus over, say, mashed potatoes or rice or noodles or something like that, because the latter speaks to my soul, and the other one, I don't know what it speaks to. You know what I'm saying?
I agree with you. I would never order that.
I guess it's the difference in comfort food, but I don't necessarily want to be that challenged when I eat. You know what I mean?
Yep. Yep.
And that's what this food that the younger group of outsiders is bringing to the city. They're bringing challenging food. And maybe we just don't want to be challenged like that.
You know how you can tell one of these people are in that group of people? Heavy use of the word. You know what I mean?
Oh, did I say that twice?
Oh,
I did.
No,
I said it two or three times. But that's definitely not me. I mean, I'm much more interested in food that speaks to my soul. And I think most people are.
I know what you mean. And one more place. a restaurant called Cuban. Cuban.
You know, that's in a hotel about a block off of Portress.
Yeah.
And it is...
The Ella Jane Hotel.
That's right. And I the first time I went, the service was completely amateurish, and there were a couple other aspects of it that... kind of turned me off to it a little bit, but I waited about a year or a year and a half or so. I went back again and ordered the really hardcore French kind of food on there, things like sweetbreads and that kind of thing. And it was tremendously better than it was the first time. And if you like French food, kind of country-style French food like you would find in France, if that intrigues you, go get some of that. That's some good stuff.
Are you talking about Cuvant?
Cuvant, yep.
Cuvant, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you are.
It is very good. Very good.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank y'all so much. I'm enjoying the show. And
wonderful. Thanks for calling.
Keep up the good work. All right. Bye-bye. Well,
if I ever start doing it, I'll
260-6368 is the number. That's 260-MENU. We're just, just doing our usual thing, talking about everything having to do with food. And as I said yesterday, if I were to describe what this show is to me, it is taking a gallon of paint and dumping it off of a building about 8 or 10 stories high, and when it hits the ground, it shatters in all different directions. And that's what we do when we sit in front of the microphone. Who knows where the show is going to go, what in the world we're going to wind up talking about, but it's always kind of interesting. So if you have something that you would like to throw out there, we're here.
Yeah, whatever you want, all the time. You don't have to wait until somebody else brings up the same topic. Just go for it. It's we're ready.
Yeah.
All the time. So there you is.
Yeah.
You know what
anyway,
I mean?
Anyway, so we did I say it that many times?
No, before? No.
I mean, I know I said it twice, but did I say it that many times? I'm going to have to start listening to the show so that I can see if I'm saying that a lot. Anyway, that is a subject that I'm finding especially fascinating.
Oh.
The dynamic that is, I've always thought that the dynamic of the post-Katrina New Orleans across the metro area has been really interesting, like on the North Shore. The neighbors that we have are from Chalmette. They replaced other neighbors that we had from Chalmette. And there's a lot of people from Chalmette who live on the North Shore now. They're not going back to Chalmette, but they wouldn't have thought to be here before that. And it's just what has happened since Katrina. In the city itself, there's just a tremendous amount of young people. And they came here 15 years ago, 14 years ago, and they stayed. And they brought their own ideas about food here. And those ideas are very different from what we've had in New Orleans previously. And that is another way that the city has changed, in many other ways as well, too. But, that's not what the show is about. The show's about food. So if you have some thoughts about that, we would love to hear it. And I threw out earlier some thoughts about food because this is the anniversary of Katrina. And it changed the dynamic in our family personally forever, as it did in everyone's family. But our family kind of was like that paint can. It just went off in all different directions. But one of those directions was D.C., and it introduced a lot of different food to us. So if you had some food experiences that are directly related to Katrina, I thought I'd throw them out here on this 14th anniversary of Katrina. And also unrelated to food. Can you believe it's been 14 years since Katrina?
No, I can't.
Mean, I'm absolutely stunned by that.
It's all flying by.
Absolutely stunned by that. Anyway, back to G.W. Finn's. So we went to G.W. Finn's last night, and we had the biscuits, which were great.
That's a signature.
And they're constantly bringing those biscuits through the dining room.
Nice and warm.
Not as you would usually see biscuits, but they literally come through the dining room with the cookie sheet.
They don't throw them at you.
No, they don't do the throw rolls there, but they bring them on the cookie sheet with a pair of tongs and drop them right onto your plate. They are warm right out of the oven. And on your plate they bring them with this honey butter, which is good, and they're just really, really great biscuits. But I didn't really feel like I wanted a big meal yesterday, so I followed my own advice and did not get the culinary, even though their culinary is one of the great culinaries. I decided to follow my own advice and not get the culinary. And I got instead a crab cake, shrimp remoulade, and some mushroom risotto, which was a side dish. And you got what, Tom, a fish with crab meat on it?
Yeah, I had one of my favorite fish that you don't see too much in restaurants, although a little bit, sheep's head. Sheep's head, it's a local fish, comes right out of the Gulf. It's the fishermen don't like it a whole lot because you don't get a lot of take out of it.
It's not an expensive fish.
It's not expensive, uh-huh. And it's not far out or anything like that. It's just that when the fishermen go out to catch it, they wind up taking a lot of meat off of it, just the nature of the fish. But what it leaves over is still really good, and I get that almost every time I go there because you can't run into it all that many times around
town.
Yeah,
he's got a lot of different kinds of fish. But, Tom, I didn't see anything else on that plate. I just saw fish. Was there anything else on the plate?
There was this interesting, I don't know how to explain it exactly. It was kind of a crust that was an orange-yellow color, and it was kind of encrusted with that. And when it all came together, it was just a wonderful flavor. And I said to myself, this is the way
it should be.
Chef Kenny.
It's Tenny.
Tenny,
there was a lot of crab meat on that dish. There was an awful lot of crab meat.
Tremendous amount.
And you know what else
I
noticed? Yeah. I did not find it to be especially expensive.
No.
I did not think that was an expensive menu. Like the crab
not at all.
Cake was a decent-sized crab cake, and it was not that deep-fried stuffing business, which I would not expect at a place like that anyway.
That isn't what they were doing.
And it came with a jicama slaw, and then shrimp remoulade.
He used to be the coach for the Saints, wasn't he? Jicama Shaw?
I think maybe, yeah. And the shrimp remoulade had a really good sauce. It was with a frisée salad in the middle. I didn't really count the number of shrimp, but it didn't seem like there were a lot of shrimp on it. It was not what I expected to come to the table. It was prettier than what I expected to come to the table. Not as many shrimp as I thought would be there. And really good. It was really good. The mushroom risotto was a very generous portion for the price. It was also really good. It was shaved Parmesan on top. And it was overall just a really great meal.
Mm-hmm.
But I noticed that the prices were not what I would expect to see for the caliber of food that I see in other places.
Too hot or too whole?
I mean, no, I thought it was less expensive.
Oh, uh-huh.
Less expensive than I expected.
Did you hear that?
Okay, we have a caller. Who's the caller?
No, we have to go for the
news. A break. Okay, we'll take
stay tuned.
We'll take a break.
More of the food.
That is
Hey, you have an idea?
Yeah, the idea was to talk about New Orleans hamburger and seafood.
Oh, well, fire away. I mean, what are
we waiting for? New Orleans hamburger and seafood is where you're going to find some great hamburgers and a good menu of hamburgers. They have really good seafood that's crisp, delicious, greaseless, and golden brown. Comes to the table as a platter or as a poor boy. Great specials that are local. They have good salads there and char-grilled oysters now at all the locations of New Orleans hamburger and seafood. You will find 10 of them around town, so go and visit and see what's there.
Hmm. Oh, we have the other part of
news
coming in.
And the news, WWL FM 105.3 HD2. We'll be back at 4 o'clock after the news.
Stay tuned.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget.
Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.